Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm the captain of a ship, and I've just been like, we're going that direction, right, for so long.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, you gotta like, you know, man the galley and clean the decks and like all the, like, trim the sails.
You gotta clean your dick.
Gotta clean my dick. Yeah, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. And welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. My name is the Iceman.
Why do you have the most awkward intros?
And I am joined today by, indeed, my lovely wife, Nikki Limo. Limo Green.
Green.
You took my name.
I did. At the very end.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's your name.
I took your name. Now you can't have it.
Dang, wait.
Now you're Steve Limo.
Oh, no. So today, we have an interesting topic today. Nikki, would you like to tell us what it is?
So I've been listening to some podcasts, and a lot of people just like start talking about things like in their day and like in their week and month. And, you know, we used to do a podcast called Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark on our Patreon, where we were talking about things that we are currently learning, things that we have already learned and are recounting and like imparting lessons of value to others through our mistakes and trials and tribulations, but rather like stuff that we were like currently learning.
Yep.
So I thought, like, I don't know, I guess we could start there, but I don't know, we've never really done a stream of consciousness podcast where we just start talking about things. It usually leads to fun conversations because we all the time talk off camera and we're like, why don't we vlog any of this?
Yeah, that happens like quite a bit, actually.
Conversation, and it's just, when we try to recreate it, doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So,
I know, never happens.
Yeah, hello. Happy 2023. How's your 2023 going so far?
It's kind of weird because I don't feel like the new year is really here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I just finished putting up Christmas decorations yesterday, and now I already took them down. Like, today is how it feels like.
Yeah, that's true. We put up our Christmas decorations kind of late.
Yeah.
Also, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be February, so
even better.
It'll feel really late for people.
Yeah, it's just blowing by, really. And then at the same time, it feels like time moves incredibly slow some days. So
yeah, I have only felt time move incredibly fast. I am constantly, I think my number one, Steve calls them like drawstring pulls, like as if I'm a doll that you pull a string and I say the same things all the time. My number one is probably,
I don't have any time. There's like, not enough time.
There's not enough time. I wish I had more time. Why isn't there enough time?
Yep. There's just not enough hours.
There's not enough hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why?
That happens
and
quite a
why?
Bit.
Why? 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 Just like why over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then like,
why did I just sit here sulking for 2 hours? That's even more time. It's pretty great.
I'm great.
You're great.
I'm a really amazing individual.
You're a great, stable person.
Yes.
And you get shit done, at least. That's
at least really I good. Go to therapy.
I agree. I think that's really good.
So.
Yeah.
My therapist was, she's pretty blown. She nailed it my last session. She said that I'm so extreme. She said that like, I'm either super inspired, want to inspire the world, want to like build a bunch of things, and like I'm very like excited and happy and grateful and like exuberant, or end of the world devastation, I don't want to exist, I don't belong here, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm confused about everything, and like why am I even here.
Sometimes that both happen the same day.
Yeah. And she says that, you know, I learn a lot from her. But she says that the way that the current world has been structured in this traditional form is like a Judeo-Christian structure where there is either good or bad. There is either wrong or right. There is either heaven or hell. Yeah. Like it's always polarized. And that when you're really connected, it's not such an extreme polarization. It's like you're allowed to be both. Like you're allowed to like be inspired and also feel kind of lost, and you know, also still retain creativity. There's moments of motivation and achieving, and then there's moments of rest. Like you're allowed. It's not good or bad. It's just flow. It's just the way the waves are going.
Right.
And she said that I'm a very creative person, and she's noticed that when I'm in a lull of creativity is when I get very depressed.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. So I haven't really jumped into new projects yet this year. Mm-hmm. And that's what started it. I always get the most depressed, I think, around the new year, because it feels like it's a brand new slate and you haven't done anything yet. Like, you, yeah. A lot of people see it as like exciting and like the world's at in your hands. I'm like, oh no, I haven't done shit yet for like a couple weeks, and then I'm lamenting about how I haven't done shit yet for, you know, and it's taking longer to do things.
That makes sense.
But this feels good. You know, recording podcast episodes always feels good.
Yes, it does.
Just getting the ball rolling, like with our vlogs, with our finances, like organizing the house, like all that stuff was probably needed and necessary and good.
Yes. Even like me, for me, I like starting to clean up my freaking office, which was a disaster for so long.
Yeah.
Feels really good.
Good thing you had a wife nag you about that.
I know. Yeah. I quite often do. But yeah, I think organizing things a little better for me is going to be really good.
Yeah.
Definitely excited to like, you know, like be focused the same way that I'm always focused on a goal, but like have multiple goals, not just one. Talked about that a little bit in the last
In the New Year's resolutions one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that's my biggest priority right now, is just making sure that I'm filling many of my buckets and not just one.
Yeah, I am very focused as well on uplifting the spiritual side. I kind of tapped into it last year in a bigger way than I've ever tapped into it. And then I got scared that I wasn't being productive enough, and mm-hmm. kind of created a tailspin like what I was just talking about. But I think that ultimately being connected to your core, and like, and that's what I mean by the spiritual sense, just like taking time to center and meditate, and even like exercise, running, swimming, stuff like that, just connects me to like my surroundings, the present moment, the universe, and like who I am authentically, like who I am at my core, like who, cause sometimes you just get lost in the hubbub of
all the time.
Hustling and productivity and getting shit done, that like you lose yourself in the process, or you lose the present moment.
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah. And I think that was really important last year, and I'm nowhere near perfect at it by any means. I'm like still like very much working on that part.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm the captain of a ship, and I've just been like, we're going that direction, right? For so long.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you got to like, you know, man the galley and clean the decks and like all the, like trim the sails.
You got to clean your deck.
Got to clean my deck. Yeah. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. But you know, all the things that, you know, I hadn't been doing, I'm excited to just rewire the way that I think about things.
Yeah.
So, because it's almost like I don't know that I have it covered yet. So I'm like, no. We got to make sure we're going in the right direction. But then it's like, okay, but you didn't cover, like, you got that covered.
Yeah.
Like now you can look at other things. You can like do other things. So that's my biggest focus.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I got little bit of confidence from last year.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Like I feel more connected to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I say confidence, not just like in an area like, oh, I think I'm really good at blah blah blah, but more like
of good the sense
this
of
self. Knowing. Yeah, exactly. Yep. That doesn't get shaken as much.
Well, that's because you actually gave yourself some time to really discover yourself again.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people really should do that when they can, right? When life affords them the opportunity to.
Yeah.
Because then you can kind of refocus. I mean, you know, it's funny too, because like, gosh, I've been on YouTube and stuff for so long. Like, I hadn't even really realized that my interests have like completely pivoted into like, you know, crypto land and
yeah.
shit. Like, you know, it's just sort of a slow thing that happened. But like when I now look back at the path I'm on, I'm like, oh, right, this is where I am.
Yeah.
So that's been interesting, like a good little realization that I've had.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're out in the poker tables or whatever, or like you're telling anybody about me, you're like, oh yeah, my husband does crypto. And I'm like, yeah, that is, you know, what I like to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't really say my husband does comedy.
Well, yeah. Anymore. I mean, I'm a tuber comedian on a channel, right?
But I never even thought about that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I do normally say crypto, but I don't, It's weird because we've always had this thing where as a YouTuber, and people don't really talk about this, because when we came up as YouTubers, it wasn't really accepted as a career.
Hell no.
Like now there are whole college courses on how to manage social media and all this stuff, and how to turn, like there's all these careers based off of social media and growing a brand and having a following and blah, blah, blah. But back when we were coming up, it was like looked down upon, and it was very like, oh, you are like a wannabe actor or wannabe entertainer or whatever you were doing on YouTube. It was like not regarded as a career. And so I'm still like, I still tell people, like I don't go to, like when people ask what I do, I don't resort to like YouTuber.
Yeah.
Like it sounds weird to me still, or influencer sounds weird to me still.
I hate that.
So I always go to like production. Like I go like I produce a podcast.
If I don't want to talk about it, I just say production.
Yeah.
If I'm cool to talk about it, then I'll say I'm
like,
a
what
tuber.
Do you produce? Then I say podcast.
Yeah.
And then
or I say I'm tuber scum sometimes.
Yeah. You know, you're tuber scum.
Yes, just to be self.
So like if someone asked what you do, I usually just say you do crypto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is kind of a funny thing too, because even nowadays people talk about influencers and it's like a pejorative, right?
Yeah. Like
it's a bad word.
Well, I hang out with poker players who have told me that they are like, they want to be an influencer. Like they're building their poker brand to be more of an influencer and to have that be what they put on their taxes. And that's what they do put on their taxes.
Got it.
And like, they say it so casually, like there's no guilt, no shame, no like pride about them like saying the word influencer. But to me, it just, I guess just because of the type of people I was around that flaunted the word like they were like some superstar, is it just is so cringy to me still.
Especially when you were there for and seeing how the cake was baked.
Yeah.
Like the other thing too that's really interesting to me about how YouTube has evolved is, you know, and many things are still the same way, but back then it was like sex sells.
Yeah.
Like, and YouTube
put boobs in your thumbnail.
Put boobs in your thumbnail. And people were like, the people knew that. And so there was a lot of like, hey, young actress who has no money.
Yeah.
Come to the set and, wear this, but like, don't worry, we're not going to film you from that angle. And then they do anyway.
Or like, they just photoshopped like a lot of cleavage in. Yeah. And I was like, my boobs don't even look like that, first of all. But second of all.
Yeah, well, there were also times where you're on a set too, and they're like, oh, don't worry, we're not going to show this. And then they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in the edit, you see it. And you're like, what the fuck? You said you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that has happened many times.
A lot of that weirdness. Like, and like, you know, like it was almost like all this shit was built on like that kind of thing. Like bait and switch and like just people, you know, exploiting other people.
I mean, that's the entire entertainment industry. Oh,
it 100% is. It's just looking back, it is fascinating to see that path and how like we walked it. And like in the middle of it, you don't realize like all that stuff. Like you don't think about it. You're just like a young.
Well, yeah, you're like, I gotta get in when I fit in, where I fit in. Yeah. I mean, I was even told by my acting coach that like I would be offered more of like sexual roles, like more like where I had to be like very like flirty and, you know, sexy. And like the word sexy even was just like very
cringes you.
Like I had a really hard time with it, like a really hard time. But he was right, like that's what I was getting sent out for. I wanted to be sent out for like the goofy next door neighbor girl. Like that was what I felt was in my core, and it's true. And I think you living with me is true, but I am happy that I did develop like that sensual, feminine,
it's very much part
sexual
of
energy side.
Because
before I think it used to have a power over me, and like now I feel like I have claimed that power more. So I also feel like there was a separation of sexy and funny. Like if you're the sexy one, you can't be funny. So if you're the funny one, you can't be sexy.
Right.
And so it was very categorized where like you're either funny or you're attractive. And there's no in between. Now there's like a lot of mix, like where like there's funny girls who are super pretty. Like there's
they write roles for that now.
Yeah, they do. But
it used to be so rigid.
Back then it was very much like you're either this or that, and there were a lot of funny girls who wanted to be the sexy girl and vice. So it was like, but you didn't get to choose, and it was like it was. I really wanted to be more of the like on the funny side. Yeah. I just felt. I have a dry sense of humor. It's very satirical. I don't really flirt that well, unless
no, you do not.
Until I was trained, like, yeah. But even then, like, I turn it off after the camera is off.
Yeah.
If I have to play a role like that, but yeah. So, you know, that he was a coach that was very big on the business of acting.
Yeah,
and like. He was like, you could be the most talented actor, but if you're not booking, if you're not making money, then you're not an actor.
Is there something that you would say to like, cause we know some people who are trying to get their kids say into acting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What do you usually say to them about that stuff?
Because I guess
they're like, should I do it or any of that kind of stuff?
I mean, I always encourage people to follow what they're passionate about. 100%.
I do too.
But I like, try to warn about like it's not butterflies and rainbows. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very exploitative.
It's weird,
especially for women and children. I don't know what to say. Like it's like there's. I mean, you hear about it all the time, and most of what you hear is true.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. It's fascinating because you know we're sort of sitting here. Having shed our skin a couple of times at this point, right? It's just interesting to look back sometimes and go, man, like when I was in it, and even when you're coming up, like say like your channel's blown up or whatever, you don't know what the hell you're doing.
No.
Like I promise you, you just don't know what the hell's going on even.
I know, I used to be so envious because I thought other people just knew what they were doing and they don't.
They don't.
They have the same fears, the same worries, thing. The
and
same.
You look back and you go, oh, right, I built this brand. How did I do that? I don't really know, but I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I planned it because I like knew what I was going to film that day, but like I didn't know the type of audience I would get and like how they react to my videos and how I have to play into that now.
Yeah.
So it's just you kind of figure it out as you go along. And like, so, you know, I always laugh when I'm listening to like some podcast about somebody who's like, you know, talking like they know exactly what's going on
or
with
like
any of the industry,
how to build this or that. It's like, well, you know, you can get it, you can have the algorithm love you for three years.
Do you remember that cat who was doing just like science facts or whatever the hell?
Vsauce.
He was like the biggest beneficiary of the algorithm I've ever seen, and how the algorithm giveth and how the algorithm taketh away.
Yeah.
Like, cause he like was exploding all of a sudden out of nowhere because YouTube changed their algorithm.
He was one of the channels that YouTube, there was a big story about like, so YouTube, I forget how the story goes, but basically he was promoted in the algorithm on purpose.
Yes,
like,
they loved him.
Well, it wasn't about, they owned the channel. Like they bought like these channels and they promoted them, like self-promoted within the space.
So funny.
And like Jash was one of the channels. Yes. Like they were really trying to.
But they couldn't get traction.
Yeah.
Like, even when you, like they were forcing the videos, I remember, but those guys couldn't get any traction.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually they lost control of the algorithm completely, so it didn't really matter.
Or so they say.
Well, they don't say. They don't want to admit that they've lost control of the algorithm, but anytime you ask any of the engineers about it, they're it's kind of like,
kinda
like silence or AI responses.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I remember him coming on the scene, and I remember seeing him at a place, and like he was like Mr. Man.
Yeah. He came back, I think, recently.
I always thought he was nice, but no, it's just fascinating to see how that works. Like when the algorithm is like favoring you, and how everyone on YouTube just immediately just goes, "Oh, I guess I got to kiss that guy's ass now."
Yeah,
and you see it like immediately that flip.
Yeah,
and I'll never forget. And you know who I'm talking about? I won't say. I guess I don't know why I won't say, but I won't say. But I remember. So I was on this show. I hosted the show called Equals Three, right? And I got like 100,000 subscribers in a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got more than that even. And there's this chick who me and Nikki both know, who's a tuber. She would pretend like we don't even exist all the time, like our little group or whatever, our little clique of people, who people who are in my like my rung on, mm-hmm. on the tubes. And the day after I blew up like that, she was all over me at a party. Like just all, I was at like this charity thing for the tubes and she was there. And like, just like, wow, Steve Green coming up, all the shit, real life trolling on, blah, 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 blah. Knew all my videos now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because she was always too cool for school to even remember your name. She would pretend like she doesn't know your name constantly. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
And she knew our names because then the next day, I'm telling you, like the next week I saw her, she's rattling off all my videos and shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but it was the weirdest thing because she would always pretend like she would always reintroduce herself to me. I'm like,
bro.
There aren't a lot of YouTubers that looked like me at the time.
Yeah.
Like at that time, the community was very small. And especially in the genre we were in. And then like years later, we did a video collaboration that was set up by my network. And she had to she remembered everything about me suddenly.
Exactly.
It was so weird.
She was a cool kid for too long.
Yeah.
Like acting like she didn't know your name every time. And then all of a sudden she knows all your videos again.
Yeah.
It
was
so
really
weird. She used to like after I blew up again, like I saw her VidCon, she's like bear hugging me and shit. Right.
Really?
Oh yeah, wow. Just like Steve Green, oh my god, all this shit, right? Bear hugging me and whatever. And then yeah, a couple years later, you know, same shit. Like just
yeah, that's when I was
like,
there.
She came to our house and she's like, "Hi, I'm," and I'm like, "Are you fucking?" You know, it's just hilarious how these people are.
Yeah, pretty wild.
A lot of interesting people. Did you ever meet PewDiePie?
No, I haven't.
I did. I met him once at Maker, like briefly. But it's funny looking back on that and like being at where was I the other day? I was at a Home Depot and I saw his energy drink.
Mm.
It's like hilarious.
I remember having never seen his videos, but everyone was talking about him at the time. And so I didn't know what he looked like, but I just, cause he was more of a gamer. And so I didn't really watch those didn't come up in my feed, but everyone was talking about him. And, I just had a completely different vision of who he was. Like,
oh yeah,
completely different.
I was definitely like more of a like. I remember hearing he was a gamer and being like a little bit like, you know, it's like, oh, I do comedy tubes and he does gamer tubes, and it's kind of like, you know, oh well, I don't get these gamer guys, and I don't, you know, want to get it or whatever. Yeah. Like I remember telling my producer at the time, I'm like, man, these gamer guys, all they do is scream in the camera and shit.
You know what's so funny is like we used to separate ourselves by the genres on YouTube that. Like where it's like, oh, they're gamer tubers, tubers and blah blah blah.
We know exactly what they're all like.
Yeah. But then now I feel like when all these other platforms started coming up, like TikTok and Vine, when Vine started coming up, then we all band together and we're like, it's OG YouTubers against TikTokers.
It's so stupid, I know.
It's so funny.
It's so like, you gotta cling to your little hole.
It reminds me of when I was in junior high and I was a huge Eminem fan, obviously. And everyone was into NSYNC and Britney Spears, and Eminem like was ripping them to pieces, right, in his songs. So it's like,
I hate NSYNC.
Yeah, I hate NSYNC. Fuck NSYNC. Fuck Backstreet Boys. Fuck these
so
little
funny.
Boy and girl groups. Because Eminem said, and I'm team Eminem for life, motherfucker. But then, now we're all old, and when NSYNC comes on in a fucking restaurant, we're all like,
everyone's bopping.
Bah, 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 bah.
Everyone's bopping.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's us against them.
Exactly.
It's us against Gen Z now. So now I'm an NSYNC person. Okay.
And it's
like,
just
NSYNC comes on, I'm backing them.
And it's just the most insecure, like I want to stand with a group that agrees with me thing.
Yeah.
It's really fucking
funny.
Well,
it's just like teeny boppers are cringe. Fucking hardcore, first of all. Like, obviously, very hardcore.
Yeah.
I'm in punk rock and I'm in Eminem. I have a lot of angst.
Right.
Okay, and so, like, I can't handle these happy songs about, like, love.
Yep.
I was listening to, like, Kim and him being like, bleed, bitch, bleed. I'd be like, yeah.
Dude, I couldn't listen to that shit. It would make me freeze up. Like,
well,
it was so mean.
It was art.
I would freeze up.
Well, now listening to it, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, and just like,
I don't think my parents knew I listened to that.
Dude, it was like scary
to
me. It was like
it
horror
was,
movie shit.
It was.
Yeah, and I don't like that shit.
But also, If she's dead, then I get to be with him.
Oh, I see. Yeah, now I see. Well, you swore for the longest time that you weren't that into him, but
I'm not.
You were into him like that, but now. Yeah.
Well,
now I get it.
This was junior high.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I mean, now he's like, you know, he's just my old friend Marshall.
I remember going to Warped Tour.
Yes.
And this guy's like, I think he's just like, it was either Finch or something corporate or whatever.
Yeah.
And this guy just like is on the mic and he just gets right up on it and like basically puts it in his mouth and just screams. And I was like, yo, I don't want to fucking be here. Like, this shit's scary, dude.
Oh, we couldn't hang.
No, hell no. I wasn't into punk at all.
What were you into? Just oldies. That's right.
You know me. I like oldies. I like the good shit. I like little Motown.
Well, I mean, so I was in a ceramics class and it was actually taught by my grandpa. But like it was an elective in our high school. So he was the tennis coach and the ceramics teacher, and he strictly played classic rock in the ceramics class. And it was so chill because you're just like doing pottery, listen to classic rock.
Yeah.
So I got really into classic rock in like ninth grade.
I like that.
So yeah, I expanded. I would say I have probably the most eclectic playlist that anyone has.
I mean, chill out.
But I also don't keep up with new music anymore. So I think at one point I had a really eclectic, like every generation, every genre except for country and techno. I didn't like those two genres. But everything else. And then I was like, you know, had the new stuff too. But now I don't really keep up with new music.
You know what's weird too is like I remember being a kid and I remember new music coming out and being like, this is cool and all stuff. But I remember like your parents are reluctant to even want to listen to it. Like,
yeah.
They're just like, I don't care. I have my thing that I like already. Yeah.
And I was like, so close-minded.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, that's so dumb. And now that's exactly what we all do. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like, I have my thing that I like already and I just want to protect it.
And I just don't, like straight up, like don't get the new music. I mean, I get like Taylor Swift's new album. Okay, that makes sense to me.
Or but like mumble rap shit?
Yeah, mumble rap or like some of this trap music. I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
It's like, it just seems like, you know, again, same thing, elitism bullshit, but like.
Well, maybe again, I'm influenced by Eminem, who really hates mumble rap. And so that's right, but also, the new thing are we
even, you know, are we even being fair too? Because I remember when the gamers were coming up on the tubes being like, all they do is scream, right? It's not what all of them were doing, but we do all do that thing where we categorize something and like define it instantly.
Totally.
And it's like a lame thing that everyone does like reflexively, but just it's important to like pay attention, be aware of when you're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get how cool Mandy Moore was until she was in Scrubs. Because, you know, she was the whole like teeny bopper.
She's a great actress, too.
She's a really good actress. I think of her more as an actress than as a singer now.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
Yeah, because especially with This Is Us.
Right.
Which you never saw, but yeah.
I saw a couple of her scenes. She's very good.
I get like why you wouldn't be into it. It's a very like emotional, it pulled on my hormones a lot, for sure.
It's a girl show.
And I'm still waiting on a grand gesture, so like whatever.
Grand romantic gesture.
Yeah, I was watching that show and it just seems like all the guys on that show do these grand romantic gestures to their women. I was like, God damn, I want a grand romantic gesture. I used to get them. I used to get them. Yeah,
remember the anniversary where you came up the stairs and there were candles?
That was after I requested a grand romantic gesture.
And you got it.
Yeah, I did.
So relax.
That's true.
Still waiting on it, my ass.
That's true. Well, I forget, so I gotta have another one.
Okay.
That was years ago, okay? That was 2 years ago, at least.
It was 2 years ago.
So, I haven't had one in Vegas. Okay.
Well, if I remember correctly, our anniversary last year.
Yes.
You were knee deep in Pokerland.
We went to the Eiffel Tower restaurant.
I know, it was awesome. It was awesome. I'm just saying, like, we couldn't, like, go on vacation or anything
I don't need a vacation.
Okay.
Like, he didn't do a vacation for her. Well, that's, like, that's expensive. That's, you're just substituting money with the equivalence of high romance.
Okay, I see.
And I am saying that these gestures weren't very, like, expensive.
Yeah.
Like, one of them, he took her back to the, like, first apartment that they had and, like, lit the, like, it was all lit up with candles, and then they had sex in the shower, and it was like this like very personal,
Personal
reference.
Touch.
Yeah, it was like personal to them that it was their first apartment. It just happened to be vacant for that period of time. So he rented it out for the night, and like there wasn't any furniture or anything in it.
You want to go fuck in your old place?
Yeah, I want to fuck in my own place.
Let's
what the
go
fuck?
Fuck in your own place. I'm okay. Down. We'll have to see if somebody's living there.
And then this other one, she wanted to be a singer. Kate wanted to be a singer, one of the daughters. And she was like scared. And then she's like, got her first gig. And so the guy, like, I think like rented paparazzi or something. He did this whole thing where like he made her feel like a celebrity. So it was like, you know, it was like just, it
made
was,
her feel like one. And then
personal.
The next day, she's just back.
Actually, it's been a while since I watched the show, but it was way more romantic than
you
I remember.
It.
Yeah. I remember being very romantic. I just can't remember the exact.
Imagine
thing
you get out of a car and I'm taking your picture like a paparazzi.
No, he hired paparazzi, not you.
It's pretty funny though.
But that is funny. Why don't you ever do that?
Like, because you would hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of fun to role play.
Well, yeah. I mean, now that's not romantic, though. That's funny.
Yeah,
you're thinking
funny.
Of funny things
yeah.
that we would do.
Well, it's romantic. Our humor is romantic. This cat is ridiculous.
I know he's purring hard, too.
He's so cute.
He's a happy boy right now.
All right, we're going to go on a break. When we come back, I don't know, more thoughts from our brains.
More Hollywood dirt coming up from Tuberland.
I guess so. I guess that's what it got
into. You
gotta
keep wanting more.
I didn't think it was gonna get into this.
Because
this isn't even what stuff that we're going through right now.
I don't know.
Guess we're just venting out. It's the new moon. It's the Lunar New Year. We gotta vent out all the old, I guess.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like thanks for listening to our podcast, and if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people
as a friend,
and we just want to say please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate, we're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you, God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. And we have Sir Thomas Colonius Limo Green. He is taking over the whole podcast.
He is the best little purr boy I've ever seen. What is something you're currently going through right now?
I don't know if it's still considered a transition phase. I'm definitely like restructuring my life after a pivot, you know, because Big Mood ended in December, and currently as we're recording this is still January for us.
We beat our extreme competitor.
Yes, we beat our chief competitor. Yeah, is gone. So
cheers.
We have no competition left anymore. But no, that was like, you know, part of my life for 3 years. And it was, even though I wasn't like involved on a day-to-day basis, it was just
part of your schedule.
It was part of my schedule. Yeah. It was a decent portion of our income. It was a friend group that we used to be all in the same city, and now we're in completely different states. And so even though it was a natural ending and all of us had naturally moved on to different interests
and locations,
it still feels like, you know, oh, like there was like a big era in my life that they were part of, and now it's over. And
is your ghost chat still popping off in there?
Not popping off, but we text every now and then, for sure. Like when someone's going through something, like one of the girls was having a relationship issue the other day, and like instead of freaking out at their partner and doing something drastic, they texted the group instead, and we
got
on a call, and like we were able to like talk through it. And
when was this?
This was last week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, and I got to we're all on different schedules, so it was like we rotated. Like I was available first, but only for an hour because then my tournament was happening. So I was like, I got an hour, and then another girl was like, oh, I'm eating dinner, but I'll be ready in an hour. So I'm like, okay. So we like passed the baton, and like we one by one like helped this girl go through the thing, and I think she felt a lot better afterwards. Good. And resolved the issues, and it was like a healthy way to deal with an issue rather than resorting back to her old things. And since we know each other so well, we know each other's weak points, and I think it's just helpful to have like a group like that for sure to go to.
Guys will do something together again at some point.
Yeah, for sure. But I think I'm just, you know, I'm restructuring now like a lot, like where it's like, okay, that's no longer in the picture, which when one door closes, another door opens. So I'm very open to the next opportunity. I'm excited for whatever it is, but there's a lot of unknown. Like, I don't know what it's going to be. I have at this point in my life, I have a lot of faith in that there will be a next thing. Like, I think if this happened 5 to 8 years ago, I was worried about like, what if there's no next thing?
Yeah.
You know, whereas now it's like, no, there'll be a next thing. Yeah. I don't know what it is yet, but it'll be here and it'll be exciting. It'll be new. It'll be like more in alignment of where my life is now. So I'm open to it and I'm excited, but the in between is definitely like kind of panicking where like, it's like, I'm not panicked that it won't come. It's just, like, what do I do? Like, where do I put my hands?
You like to know what to do.
Yeah.
You like to know what's next.
I feel useless. And then I'm like, well, a lot of shit happened where, like, we were going to do Vlogmas on the vlog channel. And then I dropped my camera. So I bought a new camera. And then my laptop broke. And then my hard drive broke. And I spent about $10,000 replacing all this equipment to try to get Vlogmas to work again. And I just couldn't get it working again. And I felt like a failure. I felt like guilty, and I felt like I let the vlog channel down, but it's like I was still vlogging that whole time because I was still hopeful that I could actually get vlogs up. And then I was like, you know what? I don't know. The universe is trying to tell me to not do it, like to chill, to like, maybe there's something I need to be paying attention to in the now that I've tried to overcome every roadblock and it's just not happening.
Right.
So I like gave in, like surrendered, and like allowed for whatever was supposed to come my way. And I will say that I think there were a lot of moments that I needed to just be present for, like a lot of, there was this huge tournament at the Wynn that like it was surprisingly something way bigger than I thought it was going to be. And like every poker player that I've met this year was all there, and it was like really great to reconnect. So there was that. And then it was the last Christmas that I think I will be spending with my brother and my little nephew, our godson,
because
they're moving to the UK. And they said, like, the wife, my sister-in-law, was trying to fly over. She said it was so expensive, like $3,000 a flight to come over here, that I don't think they'll ever come for the holidays. So I think this was probably the last Christmas I get to spend with my brother and my nephew for however long they live in the UK.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for this, but I definitely am glad that I got to be present and was there and not worried about editing a vlog or getting vlogs up. And
looking back, I'm glad we did it, but going there, I was like, fuck this.
I know. There was a lot of driving. It was a quick turnaround too.
Yeah.
And then we went to Mexico.
That was
fun. It was really great. And the people that we went with, one of them gets really nervous when cameras come out. So every time I tried to vlog, I had to kind of work around
greatest
them.
Hits.
Yeah.
Greatest hits.
So there was that. And I'm ready to get back into my vlog channel. I'm ready to start back in, but it's kind of like I'm doing this double dutch, jumping back into the jump rope. And I know things don't have to be perfect, but I'm like, there's been so long now and it's not like part of my routine yet. So I got to reestablish that. And maybe, hopefully, by the time this came out, maybe I did reestablish that. I don't know. Let's check out my vlog channel, youtube.com/Nikki.
If it's February, you did.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
Yeah. I have faith that I probably did.
Yeah.
But I want to, once I start, not be like so stop and go. You know, like, because last year was a lot of new things coming, starting all at once. So my vlog channel was very stop and go because I wasn't expecting all that stuff to happen all at once.
Exactly.
I just really wasn't expecting like just like a lot of great things, but it was just a lot of changes all at once. And now that I've gotten accustomed to those things, like I can start to reestablish my schedule in a way that's manageable and a way that won't be so stop and go. So there's that. And our podcast, I love where we're on a different schedule with that.
Yep.
And I have a schedule for poker study and things that I'm working on in that department. So I'm excited about the WSOP coming up this year and actually having a year under my belt of tournaments and study and doing that. I'm going to play a big tournament coming up online on America's Card Room that they were so generous in giving me a ticket for.
The Venom.
Which I'm excited. Yeah, the Venom. So there's a lot of exciting things coming up and that I'm working on. But I know that there's something more that's gonna happen. I just don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know what yet. So
it's been like that the whole time.
I just get to like, well, what can I control? Well, I can control these things, and we just work and we wait and we see what happens and we let the path of least resistance happen.
The whole time we've been together, it's been like that.
Yeah.
It's like there's a, you know, you see the path ahead, but then there's uncertainty because it's like we're in a weird field.
Yeah.
So you just don't exactly know what tomorrow is going to bring and you just go with it. But
but the interim is just like,
yeah. Like, I don't know what's going to happen necessarily like tomorrow, like, but we'll find out.
Yep.
But keeping a positive mindset.
Yeah.
You know, and like putting your energy into positive things, I think is extremely
And I think
beneficial.
I just needed that. Like we're like 2.5 weeks into January right now. And part of me feels bad that I haven't uploaded anything yet, but I also just really feel like it was needed. Like I don't feel like 2.5 weeks have gone by. I feel like every day I have needed to like reorganize, restructure my thoughts, reestablish like my goals and what I want to accomplish. And I think all of that's a good thing.
It's hard though to just say today's the day I'm going to do it because there's a natural inclination to want to put it off and be like,
yeah,
I'll get to it. But
yeah, like I think I want by the end of this month to have things be completely reestablished. But I think taking the time and being intentional and not rushing has been helpful. And I think a previous me maybe would have rushed and felt like out of guilt, like just really rushed into something. And I think I've learned a lot from that, like that I actually function better. And I think you can feel it when I actually enjoy being there and there's intention behind it. And it's not just like, oh my God, like, I'm sorry. Like I rush now. I'm going to I don't know this. Here's this, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to be more intentional.
Well, you have a great professionalism if you're doing stuff for other people.
Yeah.
Like I assume every time you ever showed up for Big Mood, for example, which is your own thing, but still like you like
it's other people are relying
other
on
people
me.
Are relying on you. So you show up and you're just fucking drilling. It doesn't matter what's going on personally.
Yeah.
But like it is interesting when it's just
your
you and
own
me
thing.
And it's our
yeah.
thing. And then like you're like maybe having a great, not great day. And it's like, hey, I can't do the podcast today because of this.
Yeah.
Whereas like if it was the girls here
and
the lights are on and everyone's counting on you, it'd be different. But
suck it up. Yeah.
But you know that you can have flexibility with me and be yourself.
Well, it's like one is a job/business I created.
Yeah.
And the other one is my creative baby. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and with your creative baby, like you put more care into it. Like you want it to, it's a little bit more precious.
It's supposed to be a certain way,
and like, you don't want to get too precious about it. Otherwise you'll never start.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, I do see it differently. Cause not that I don't have those highest standards over there, but it's more of like this business relies on me. So I have to be there.
Right.
Whereas this one, like I feel like my heart is in this and I just want, I don't want to show up with half my soul.
Exactly.
It's like, it's art. It's still like my creativity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's like when I'm doing like Crypto Corner show prep, I'm just like, I need to be left alone. Like I want to always bring it. Like I've been doing that show for like a year and a half now or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I just love it so much.
Yeah.
Like that I don't want it to be
something
bad
that
or uninteresting or something that,
that
I'm
you
not
slammed together.
Never. So yeah, it's but it's, you know, it's been great having that, like, just to like, I had this passionate interest in crypto, and I now have a place I get to talk about it like at length. Because even just doing crypto episodes here, like, you know, I think a lot of the audience is like, yo, I expect like relationship stuff or like family stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the audience is like, yo, yes, let's go, crypto episode.
Yeah.
You know? So like, you know, you don't want to just overdo it and like hit the same topic when our show is very much about like, you know, our lives and our relationship and like, you know, navigating weird topics.
Yeah, general, like, relatable topics, I think, that people are going through that doesn't get
There's
talked
no
about
manual.
Enough.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we try to keep it like that. But then, so, like, whether I was on JK or whether I was here, like, I could never just have time to really delve in and talk about crypto for, like hours, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm very, feel very fortunate that I have that.
Yeah, that's why I was excited to start the stream, which... by the way, I'm also on a schedule with now, like twitch.tv/Strychnix. It's a poker stream, and I never thought that I could talk about something for 7 hours.
I know.
And I regularly stream and talk about poker for 7 hours at a time, and I don't get bored of it. Like, I really just love it.
I don't get bored watching it. I find it fascinating. I find it so interesting. It's not even a game I play, really, but I just
you
find
just like watching it.
Yeah, it's just like sports. It's like I can have it on the background, and I like watching football. I don't know everything in the ins and outs of football, per se.
You don't play football.
I don't play football, but I like figuring it out as they're doing it. I like seeing, okay, oh, I see how they use the safety to pull that defender, to pull that guy this way, and that's what opened that guy up. I love all that shit. So, you know, watching you play poker is really fun.
Yeah.
It's fun for me.
It's fun for Tommy, too.
It's fun for Tommy's Collins, too. But then also, like, there's so much, and then getting to know people in the poker community, like, through our neighbors and through, like, your experience in it.
Yeah.
Has been fun because, like, you know, I was just, like, sitting with some poker people 6 nights ago, and we're talking crypto. And I actually met a cat who,
Who knew a lot about crypto.
Knew a lot about crypto. And I was like, whoa, this doesn't really get to, it doesn't
there
really
is
happen.
This hybrid of, this, like, Venn diagram of... Is that what it's called when they're two circles crossed and like of poker players and crypto?
It's a lot.
It's like
it's almost like a full circle at this point. Yeah,
which is funny because we've always talked about the parallels and
it
makes sense that there'd be.
Yeah, I was actually saying like projects out loud and like Ethereum layer twos and like even stuff that like super like something nobody would really know like if they're a normie.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh yeah, I like how they're doing that. And I was just like a head. Trip to talk to somebody at length about different projects like with depth though, not like, oh yeah, I like Bitcoin and I like Litecoin or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It was just really cool. It was cool to nerd out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's been the biggest thing since moving here has been like finding people to nerd out with on common interests.
Yeah.
Like I have such a variety of people I can talk to at any time about poker, which I thought I was hoping to meet a community or like, you know, be part of one or have one or two friends that play that we could go out and play with. But it's like a big community and I've really loved everybody that I've met so far.
Me too. And even people that like, you know, I never thought I'd like ever be at a bar watching a soccer game, for example, a football game, a traditional football game. But like during the World Cup, like Mormon had me come. And watch like, you know, England at a English pub.
Yeah.
And we were going in there to just get some beers or whatever. And it just happened to be like, we're like stacked side by side with like, you know, it's like the capacity for this place is 60 people. And there's like fucking 120 people.
Oh my gosh.
It was nuts in there, right? So then we're getting beers and waiting for them. And like, we're shoulder to shoulder with everybody. And then all of a sudden, England scores. And they were down the whole game, so they finally scored, right? And like everyone's jumping up and down, screaming. Like I'm screaming, Chris is screaming, and we're standing shoulder to shoulder, like jumping up and down, getting a beer bath from everybody in that room. I was soaked in beer after, but I will never forget that memory.
Yeah,
it was such a great moment, and like looking over more and be like, yo, fuck yeah, or whatever. They ended up losing the game, but it was like a, I don't know, like I love that that being here brought me a moment like that. Like I would never have had in a million years, because like I would just have been watching like an NFL game or whatever instead.
Yeah, like, everyone in LA is like, it's very isolated.
Yeah, it's
like very there's tribal. Clicky. But yeah, here it feels like, well, everyone, it's weird because I can't speak from any different experience. This is all I know was so far is that like everyone we've met has been connected to each other, which is so bizarre and great, but also like coincidental. I don't know.
Even in LA, right? I'm filming JK News and I come back to the hotel. We're standing at the bike at the time. And like your poker coach is there. And he's like testing his soul. He's like, Steve? He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And I'm like, what the fuck are
you
doing
here? Who was
also
at that football game with you.
Yeah, exactly. He was there watching. I know, like 9 days prior, too. So, yeah. And then it's just a small world. It's funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I always enjoy anytime I hear there's going to be a poker-ish hang, I'm always down.
Yeah.
Like, they're great people.
Which is such a different vibe than there's going to be a YouTube hang.
Oh, it's my like, God. It's the opposite.
YouTubers
get me out of there. Yeah. Or actor hang. Get me out of there.
Or improv hang. Stand-up it's hang.
Like, yeah, I just signed with WME or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just got my credit. Blah, 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 blah.
I just booked a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah, man. You talk about like greatest hits. Like you could just run through every soundbite.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great over here.
I can't even believe we've been here for over a year. I mean, part of me feels like we just moved here, but the other part feels like we've always belonged here.
I agree.
Like so it doesn't feel like we even moved.
No.
Like, I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird. It's weird too that when I live in Las Vegas, like that almost doesn't register.
Oh yeah,
with
it doesn't
me.
Register
when
at
I'm
all.
When I'm back in LA shooting or whatever, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I live in Vegas. And when I look at my Nevada license, I'm like, oh yeah, I live in Nevada.
Yeah, yeah. whenever we fly home from somewhere, it's like, you see the strip as you're landing, you're like, we're in Vegas. Oh my God.
Exactly.
Like, we're in Vegas.
And then there's this weird sense of like, oh yes, I'm home. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I'll be home in 10 minutes or 15
right,
minutes.
Right, right. Like, you can be a Vegas tourist or you could completely forget that you're in Vegas.
Really,
100%.
Really. And you could always get that prime rib.
Yeah.
That $5.99 prime rib deal. It's around somewhere.
I don't
24
eat it,
hours a day.
So.
Well, you don't.
Yeah. But I'm excited because we talked about this on the New Year's episode, but I'm excited to have date nights at each casino on the strip.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Starting next week, I assume.
Probably.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Let's do it. Can't wait.
That's Wednesday we do it.
That's Wednesday we do.
Yeah.
I'm also excited about the kitties, which we'll get into later.
Well, yeah, we shouldn't talk about that
yet. We're not going to talk about it yet. But
check out, if you haven't already, go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nikki. I know it's weird because like this is also my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nikki Limo. But I'm mostly going to be posting on my vlog channel, youtube.com/Nikki.
Yeah.
I talked about this on my stream, twitch.tv/TrickNix.
Get them all.
Yeah, I'm going to plug
all. Get all the plugs
and
out.
On the Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, S-T-I-K-K-I. No, not good branding to have different names on each thing. But,
it's definitely not.
YouTube.com/Nikki is pretty easy. I have talked about how like this channel, my main channel, got demonetized. It's just been messed with a lot. It's
been fucked with
a lot in like 15 years. Like at different points, it's been demonetized or flagged for weird shit, like selling firearms or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And then even when they remonetize it, it never goes back to the way it was.
They
where
cut the
my,
views in half like within
yeah,
3 days.
Like to a quarter almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like people didn't even know I was still uploading. And it was so frustrating because it's like at the time I was doing regular content and I had an editor. So we had like employees and like we had people that relied on it being a business. And it just, they just can take away that at any time.
Yep.
And it's pretty scary. So my vlog channel luckily has not been fucked with and I can still upload there. And it's not even about the monetization. It's that the algorithm doesn't push your channel if it's not monetized.
Yes.
So it just
it won't even
got
go to
stuck
people
in
who...
the algorithm about like, oh, this is not monetized. So people aren't clicking on it. And then they're like, oh, the people just don't like to click on it. But really it was because the algorithm decided not to push it because it wasn't monetized.
Yep.
So it's dumb. But on my vlog channel, it is still pretty regular. We have a much smaller audience over there, but yeah. I think it's like a level that I'm comfortable with where
for sure you can be personal.
I can miss a month and they're very nice and forgiving about it and they're not yelling at me because they understand my inconsistencies.
That's fair.
But I always come back and I always am like so filled with ADHD that I have like 1,000 different things I want to work on. So it'll be interesting. I will find out as well as you what happens on that channel.
Yeah, same. And same here.
But we have a couple ideas that are really fun. That's why Steve was mentioning our cats.
Yes.
So.
Who are our mom cat and our and her baby right now are together right now. It's pretty funny.
Best duo?
What's that?
Best duo?
Maybe. A little insider bit.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all the time we have for today, folks.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this stream of consciousness. This is the first time we've tried it. We covered like some topics that I didn't expect to come up.
Same.
So there's that. And I hope your 2023 is still right and strong. And if not, you can always change it tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a new day.
Tomorrow's a new day.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Just slap on a coat of mascara and you're a new lady.
Get that head up high.
Okay. We love you.
Love you. See you guys in the next one.
See you guys next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.